Let's take our Bibles today and turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17. Jeremiah, chapter 17. We want to read the first 8 verses of this chapter. Jeremiah prophesied during a time when Israel and Judah were on the verge of Babylonian captivity. And so his message was very strong. Man, as all the prophets were. But God raised up prophets generally because the people had backslidden and turned away from God, and they needed to be brought back to their one true God, because idolatry was a problem, still is, in the world. So God writes, and he writes a message to the what will bring a curse and what will bring a blessing. Amen. So let's notice Jeremiah 17:1. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron, and with the point of a diamond it is engraved on the tablet of their heart and on the horns of your altars. While their children remember their altars and their wooden images, by the green trees on the high hills, on my mountain in the field, I will give as plunder your wealth, all your treasures, and your high places of sin within your borders. With all your borders. Verse 4, and you, even yourself, shall let go of your heritage, which I gave you, and I will cause you to serve your enemies in a land which you do not know. For you have kindled a fire in my anger, which shall burn forever. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but his leaves will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Father, I ask your blessings upon the ministry of the Word of God this morning. I pray that you'd talk to the heart, the soul, the mind, the inner being of every person as only you can do. We ask, Lord, your Holy Spirit operate in a powerful way. Today we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. The cursed and the blessed. I know that you choose to be blessed. Praise the Lord. The Lord will bless you, keep you, cause his face to shine upon you. Amen. If we'll pray to him, amen. Have you ever seen somebody that was just, for a lack of a better term, dyed in the wool, someone who would not change their mind regardless of the evidence that they are wrong? This passage points out the difference between the person who is blessed by God and the one who's living under the curse of sin. They're opposites there. And so God can bring somebody who is completely overcome by sin and make them pure and make them a new person. Years ago, I heard a Vietnam prisoner of war, ex-prisoner of war, spoke in our chapel to the college that I attended as many years ago. And he was a POW in Vietnam, and it was most certain that he would lose his life at a slow, painful death, or he would starve to death, as many of them did. And he was sure it was the end. He hadn't lived for God. He'd lived for himself. He was just partied, drank, and everything with the rest of them. But now he was in prison. There was nowhere else he could go. He was under the curse of communism. But however, as he sat in his cell, scripture verses he has learned in Sunday school as a child. You think Sunday school is important? Amen, it is. If you don't think it is, just don't say anything. You know how I feel. But he began to verses begin to come back to his mind that he had learned as a kid in Sunday school. And one of them came back to him, and he quoted it, and then the next day he quoted that verse again, and then, as God can do, God began to open his heart to other verses of Scripture he had learned in Sunday school. And after a while, he had a whole string of verses that he had learned as a kid in Sunday school. And he would quote them every day. And these eventually led to his salvation, him calling out to God, and God saving him right there as a POW in Vietnam. Eventually, he was released by a miracle. He was released. And there he was when I heard him speaking in chapel that day. And he spent the rest of his life serving God, not angry, not bitter, but instead better. A man transformed by the power of God, from under the curse to the blessing of God. Amen. And so, today, the Scripture here points out two types of people, the cursed and the blessed. And let's look at it for just a moment. We find that Judah here had drifted from God, they'd gotten far away from God. And Judah's sin had become so deeply engraved that it could not be removed. And the point of a diamond in the pen of iron indicates the permanence of this engraving. The heart of the people, the center of their spiritual, emotional, and mental well-being, was inextricably entangled in the stubborn rebellion against God. These were a people who could not fail, who would have victory over their enemies, would have plenty to eat, clothes to wear, and very vineyards and houses of their own and everything if they would simply stick with God. The promise of God's blessing was unlimited. Read that about it in Ezekiel or Deuteronomy 28 when you get home. But their sins were so visible, as if advertised and promoted by indulgence in those things which God had forbidden. Instead of them being a witness in the Canaan's land, they had become like the Canaanites in their worship and in their daily practice of life, which is sinful. If their sin today could have been written, it would be written on billboards, probably spoken on YouTube, probably already is, heralded by the news. That just pointed out what their sins were. They made no secret of it. Their sin was so obvious it was like it was carved in stone, etched in granite, if you so speak. They would reject their God-given heritage for sinful behavior and idolatry, all the pagan idolatrous practices that went with it. And I won't stand here and tell you all the pagan practices that went with idolatry or horrible things, anything you can imagine. And so strong was their behavior, it was like it was written with the point of a diamond and the pen of iron. Their sin was permanent. They weren't going to turn back to God. And as if it was permanently engraved in their hearts, this is what we are, this is the way we want to be, and this is the way we're going to live our life, regardless of what any prophet of God says. That was their attitude. The people had their language, their immoral behavior, and they bragged about it, and it was still all they could talk about. I worked in a place one time, years ago, and I was saved. Yes, I was. But I worked in a place where all the language was, to put it mildly, was XXX. Those people thought about nothing, could talk about nothing but what they were going to do on the weekend, how were they going to get drunk and cheat on their wives. I mean, I'm telling you the truth here. This is the way that they talked all the time. How did I stand to stay there? They couldn't stand to see me sit there and read my Bible on break, but I read it anyway. And some of them didn't like me for it. However, if they were going to do that, if they were going to talk about that, I decided it's just a good time for me to learn about more about the Lord. And I couldn't go along with their behavior. But it's the same as here. It's the same. Things have never changed. People are still idolaters today. People are still wicked. And not all people. People that are not born again, they begin to go down the hill of wickedness until they go deeper than they ever thought they could go. And the miracle of God is that God can save anybody regardless to the depths of sin they have plunged to. I'm glad that we can sail along with John Newton, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Because without Christ, we would be a wretch. We would go to the depths of sin, and it's unlimited how deep you could go and do things you never thought, dreamed about doing, or thought you would do. That's where sin can lead you. But I want to tell you, the grace of God is sufficient. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. He's a powerful God, mighty God. He's able to set the captives free and wash clean people who've gone to the greatest depths of sin. The blood of Jesus can make wash them clean. Okay. Here, the nation of Judah, they had no more guilt for sin, no intention to change from their idolatry. They were so accustomed to that sinful behavior that evil was considered ordinary. Little by little, the enemy seeks your acceptance of evil and sinful behavior where it doesn't seem quite so sinful. But this would mean no atonement for their sins. They were past the point where they could be reconciled to God. My friend, you've heard the term a lot of times that says only God could do this. I want to tell you something. Only God can save the sinner. Only God can set people free from sin, but He can and will if there's a willing heart, if there's repentance. But sins in our society today are so commonly accepted that there is little or no shame anymore for anything that's said or done or talked about. It was the same in Jeremiah's day. If we go back a couple of chapters, Jeremiah 8:12. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No. They were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. My friend, this acceptance can become common to the church if we ignore God's plain teaching of Scripture. It's not that we go out and tell people how awful they are, or that we try to pick out somebody we can just tell them how bad and how awful they are. No, it's not that. We show God reaches the world through love. Amen. Condemnation is there. Jesus came to a world. He said, I didn't come to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He came to a world that was already condemned. And He made a way that they could escape and be free from their condemnation, be forgiven of their sins. Praise the Lord. And so a society here where they didn't even blush at sin, where there was accepted evermore anything that was said or talked about, it didn't bother them at all spiritually. I think it's gotten that way today in our world that we live in. Amen. Almost no subject is pushed away as you just don't talk about that in public. When I was a kid, we didn't talk about half the things I hear on the news today in public. Verse 4 of our text here, even yourself shall let go of your heritage, which I gave you, and I will cause you to serve your enemies in a land which you do not know, for you have kindled a fire in my anger, which shall burn forever. That is a very strong, powerful word from God to those people. God had provided them with all that they needed. God had given them everything, had given them houses and lands they didn't work for, given them forgiveness of sins that they didn't earn, given them all that they needed to pertain to life and godliness, but yet they'd forsaken it. But the dark clouds of Babylonian invasion would be their coming judgment. And they would trade their heritage for things that wouldn't satisfy. They would be taken off to a land for 70 years in Babylonian captivity. They did not know. They didn't know the language. Because they had kindled a fire in God's anger, which would not be put out, but would burn forever. That's very powerful. And so there's many things that are accepted today in our society that are just an abomination to God. Like the acceptance of the idea that I'm gay and lesbian and I was born that way. You weren't born that way. You were born a male or a female. Regardless of how you try to separate that, common sense says you're one or the other. Okay? Today, how many will forsake their God-given inheritance of salvation, eternal life, for a few worthless, sinful things that can never equal God's gracious offer of salvation? For you see, we have been given a glorious inheritance and hope by Christ and his work on the cross, and all our hope hangs upon Christ and his work at the cross and his resurrection. And there's no other way except through Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, Jesus says in his own words. Praise the Lord. And but we can all come to him. Praise the Lord. And Jesus invites people several places. He says in Matthew 11:25, amen, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Amen. Rest would be delivered from the guilt and the shame of sin. Rest would be you're not guilty anymore. Rest would be I can make you clean. Rest would be that they could be reconciled to God, have a right relationship with God, and be on their way to heaven instead of hell. And so Jesus put forth that even his earthly life, and of course in his death he paid for sins. In his resurrection he guaranteed eternal life. And so we've been given a glorious, blessed hope. And our hope hangs upon all that Christ did on the cross and the resurrection. Amen. Why can we not all sing, I will glory in the cross. Praise the Lord. Because you see, you and I, we have an inheritance. We cannot afford to trade for any foolish bargain of evil that this world may offer. I'm not here to advertise, but there's a desk outside that says free. And some people came to me yesterday, and they said, we want to take a look at this desk, and it said free on it. And they said, is it a good desk? I said, yes, check it out. Look at the drawers are good, everything. I said, I'm sorry, that's the best offer I can give you. The best bargain I know of is free. But it's still out there. You should have asked $100 for it. No, anyway. But God has something free for you and I. Think of all that you have in Christ. Amen. I want to refer back to a scripture in 1 Peter chapter 3. Where it tells us some of the things we've been given. 1 Peter 1, pardon me. Verse 3. Where it says there, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy, he has begotten us again into a living hope. You see, you can't beat a deal like that. Born again by God's Spirit into a living hope, not a dead hope, not hoping someday it'll happen, but into a hope, a glorious hope, a living hope, not a dead hope, but a living hope. Through the resurrection of Christ from the dead, and you said you've been born again to an inheritance that's incorruptible. It's imperishable. It's not going to fade away. Amen. An inheritance that's in heaven and to be with God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit forever. Amen. Friend, you can't get any better than that. There's not a better deal out there. You know, my friend, you know, a lot of people will say, well, the Congress may say, well, we're going to call a committee here to discuss this thing. When it comes to the gospel, there's nothing to discuss. You either come God's way or you don't come at all, but you can freely come his way. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus said, and the word of God says, God has demonstrated his own love toward us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When we were unwilling and unworthy of a drop of his precious blood, he poured out his soul unto death because he loved you and I. We can't just say we don't need that. My friend, that's what we need. That's what the whole world needs. The whole world must have. So we've been birthed, born again into an incredible and corruptible inheritance that's undefiled and does not fade away like sinful things do. Sinful things just fade away. It says it's reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God. Can I quote a little scripture here? Amen. I want to. John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. Jesus said these things right before he went to the cross. How could his heart not have been troubled? He was going to the most cruel means of execution that ever invented by sinful carnal humanity. But he says, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. A place for who? For people that were awful and sinful, like the people there that we read about in Jeremiah, people like in America, in every nation of the world that are sinful and don't deserve anything from God. But Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. He said, God is saying, I want you to spend your eternity with me. Amen. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, not maybe, not perhaps, not if CNN says so, but he says, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. God wants you in heaven with him. Amen. So praise the Lord. And these were a people, in back in our text there, who had God's promises, his blessings, prosperity, promise complete victory over their enemies, and could go the distance completely undefeated. And Israel was surrounded by a cloud, pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Visibly there was God in their midst. But yet somewhere or another, somehow or another, they just forgot about the cloud and the pillar of fire, and they decided to go their own way. Instead of having sin engraved on the depths of their heart, they should have had the Ten Commandments engraved upon their hearts instead of their acceptance of rebellious things against God. And today, church, we should better take heed to God's written word, his written commandments, not only in a book, but in our hearts. We must renew our fear, the fear of the Lord, the fear of God, the reverence, respect for God in our lives. Proverbs 1 and 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You say, what's the beginning? You know, so many people are unwise. You know, the Bible says, you know, in James 1 it says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all men liberally. You know, yeah, you got to have enough sense to ask for it. Yeah. But God gives wisdom. Praise the Lord. And as we look, seek God, the fear, the reverence, the respect for God begins to change our lives. And we become not begin being a cursed people, but we move on to being a blessed people. And God's requirement was 10 simple laws to live by, 10 commandments written with the finger of God. You thought that would have changed Israel, but it didn't. And so the word of God here speaks of two types of people, the cursed and the blessed. The cursed are those who trust in fallen man. In our text there, verse 5 says, cursed is the man that trusts in man. Puts all of his hope, all of his belief, all of his trust in what man can do. And makes his flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. That will be a cursed person that does that. Whose hearts depart from the Lord. And the heart is a seat of your mind, will, and emotions. Has to do with your intellect. But God takes charge of that and changes your heart when you're saved, you're born again. And so depart, whose heart departs from the Lord, whose heart departs from honest, righteous living, and departs from trust in God. People trust in a lot of things. People trust in money. People trust in the stock market. People trust in retirement accounts. People trust in government. God help you. Amen. There's a lot of things that people trust in. And I'm not saying that all those things are bad, but I'm saying that complete trust or full trust has to be in God alone, who cannot fail, who cannot make a mistake, who cannot change and won't change because he's always right. Amen. And so the fruit of such living under a curse is in verse 6, where it says, the person that trusts in man, he shall be like a shrub in the desert, which shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness and a salt land which is not inhabited. You see, this piece of vegetation, if you should call it that, a shrub in the desert. You know, with no water and no rain, something tells you it's not going to grow like a East Texas pine tree. It's not going to be tall. Because its roots do not reach to water beneath the earth to sustain the life of the bush. And shall not see good when good comes, because it's so overwhelmed with evil. That's the way people are. It says barren and parched places, a salt land. It doesn't relate to the things that would cause vegetation or anything to grow. But it means unproductive. It means that people that just trust in man, They produce unproductive lives that produce only sorrow and regret. And Jesus took the curse of sin so we could be blessed and not cursed. Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs upon a tree. Galatians 3:13. Jesus took, that's hard, the curse. It moves me, touches me. He took everything that would have kept me out of heaven and nailed it to his cross. Amen. And so the cursed man has nothing to look forward to now or in the future. But I'm glad the story didn't end there. Because second of all, there is the blessed man. Verse 7, blessed, happy is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is the Lord. It's the Lord. His hope is built on one who is strong and powerful and trustworthy. And his hope is built on one who is eternal. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15:19 says, if we have hope only in this life, we are of all men most miserable, most to be pitied. If our hope is on what mankind can produce, if our hope is on what people can come up with, then we have a pitiful outlook upon life and we have no future look. But I can tell you something, friend, we have a wonderful future with God. Blessed is the man who loves the Lord. Blessed is the man whose trust is the Lord. Amen. And the blessed man, his hope is built upon one who's strong and powerful. It's built upon a fruitful life of the one who has fully trusted in God, one who worships God, clings to God in faith, and will not cease to trust in the Lord no matter what. You know, God is not interested in people just said, Lord, I just want you to help me out of this problem. I just want to serve you for a little while. And when I get over the next hill and things are a little bit better, then I don't need you anymore. I'll call on you when I need you next. God doesn't operate that way. When we're saved, my friend, when you're born again of God's Spirit, you have given your life to God. You're not given just a sinner's prayer. You've given your life to God. Jesus, take charge of my life. Take control of my heart, my life, my desires, what I want to do, where I go, and how I live my life. I want you to be in charge. Be Lord of my life. That's what a person does when they're truly saved. Amen. Fruitful life of the one who has fully trusted the Lord is one who worships God, one who clings to God in faith. It's not one that lets go of God when he runs against hard times. He trusts God to walk him through it. He will not cease to trust in the Lord no matter what. Man, there's things that we could do that, say, well, you know, God, I'll call on you when I need you later. My friend, I've been living for God most of my life. And I've never come to a time where I said, God, I'll need you later. I can't imagine a day without God. I can't imagine a life without God. I need him. The Bible says we're complete in him. Amen. Blessed is the man whose hope is the Lord. And it says here in verse 8, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Amen. Verse 8. He shall be planted, be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots to by the river. Man, those roots run down where the water is, and even in a barren land it can come up a fruitful tree. Psalms chapter 1 says, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Psalms 1. So, my friend, we want to be planted by the rivers of water. Amen. Water is something that is the symbol of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Amen. And so we can have life and we can have hope. And I don't care if you're 3 or 103. If you have hope in the Lord, you've got it made. Praise God. God's not going to forsake you. You can be like a tree. You can be fruitful even in old age. Praise the Lord. And we will endure the storms of life. We can look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who endured far more than we'll ever endure. Amen. But we can look unto him and say, Jesus went through this. He went through this much harder than I've going through right now. And I believe and I'm trusting him. He's going to walk me through. My friend, God will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. I don't care what happens. I don't care if the whole world explodes in nuclear war. God's people are going to be taken care of. No matter what, no matter who's present, no matter who's not present. No matter what, we serve the living and the true God who's powerful and mighty and holy, and he's going to take care of his people. Verse 8, middle of the verse, will not fear when he comes. When the heat's on in your life, you can't stand it anymore. You serve a God who can stand it. He's been there. But his leaf will be green. He will be not be anxious, not be worried in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. God says, I'm going to make you fruitful no matter how old you are, no matter what you're going through. You're important to me. Aren't you glad that God loves you? Like I said, if you're 2 or 82, God loves you. God cares for you. God's concerned about you. If you're still alive, God's not through with you yet. I've told people that in the nursing home that looked like they didn't have a chance to live any longer. But I want to tell you, friend, as long as you're here, as long as God's putting breath in you, you serve a purpose for being here. Amen. You may not be able to run and shout like you used to. Amen. But I can tell you something. God can use you to be a prayer warrior. God can use you to help people, to speak an encouraging word to people. God can use you. God's not through with you. He's never through with you. He's got eternity planned for you. The Lord. So God, the blessed man, will endure the storms of life. He'll look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of his faith. Psalms 92 and 12 says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. This will help you. Verse 14, Psalms 92, 14. They shall still bear fruit in old age. Aren't you glad? They shall be fresh and flourishing. You say, well, Pastor, I don't feel very fresh and flourishing. But God has plans for you. Amen. To declare that the Lord is upright, he's my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Amen. The blessed man is not threatened by world news. His hope isn't built on what happens in this temporary world. His hope is built upon the eternal. In the book of 2 Corinthians, it says, for this cause we do not therefore we do not lose heart. Though our outward man is perishing, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. The things which are not seen are eternal. Whatever you're going through right now, just remember, it's temporary. Amen. Grief is temporary. Sorrow is temporary. Bad times, hard times, financial challenges are temporary. God's got greater plans for you, my friend. There's a time when the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. Amen. Everybody will hear it. The archangel, the dead in Christ, shall rise first. Amen. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up to glory. In the clouds with him, in glory to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort with each other with these words. Our heart is set on the eternal things. Praise God. It doesn't mean that you don't sit around and wait for heaven all the time. It does mean that you are responsible. You make a living for your family. You provide. And God gives you the strength and the grace and the help that you need to provide for your family and for people and for your if your grandparent. Amen. I won't go there too far, but I am one. God will make sure you're taken care of. I heard a preacher say one time, he says, when I get old, my kids are going to take care of me. He said, I'm going to tie up their phone for hours talking to my toothless friends. And he said, I'm going to take their new car and burn all the rubber off their new tires. I hope he was kidding. I think he was. But you see, God is going to provide for those that are after him. He's going to bless the one who trusts the Lord. And my friend, in our heart must be set on eternal things, not fleeting things. Amen. Yes, our nation is in a mess. It's in a great mess, and everybody has their idea how it can be fixed. But my friend, I'm looking for the eternal God. It says the eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are His everlasting arms. He's going to hold you up, whatever you have to walk through. He's powerful. He's stronger than you are. He's more powerful than you are. He's got this thing. Amen. He's got it under control. You're His child. He loves you. He cares for you. He's walking. He's living for you. He wants you to live. Amen. And He'll transform this body into a glorious, glorified body like unto His glorious body and take us to heaven where He has a place prepared forever for us. What a wonderful God we have and we serve. Amen. So if you know Christ as your Savior, you're blessed, not cursed. Amen. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you don't want to live the cursed life. You want to live a blessed life. So you can turn to Him now. He's made salvation possible for whosoever will today. Amen.